Save big money on your roofing project at Menards with Owens Corning Shingles. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements and enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning Duration Shingles offer ultimate protection and impressive curb appeal. Choose from 24 colors of Owens Corning Duration Shingles and transform your home today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Paul Lapalisse joins us. The head coach for Team Canada's men's national flag football team is preparing the group to go to the 2025 IFAF Americas Continental Championship. We'll get to the tournament in a minute, Paul, but first, I want to ask you, I think a lot of people are curious to hear your answer, what it's been like for you to go from CFL coaching to coaching flag football with the Olympics in the background?
Well, it's certainly been a learning curve for me. And when Kevin McDonald originally approached me, head of Football Canada, he said, hey, would you help interview guys for the position? And then I started thinking about it. I was coaching my son's 7-on-7 flag team. I said, well, how do I get part of the Olympics? That'd be a cool experience. He said, well, why don't you apply for the job then, and I'll take you off the committee. So, and then when I really thought about it with the ability of eventually possibly NFL players coming into this, you know, I thought I fit this very well, one, having a professional background and dealing with professional players. So, like, I've enjoyed the process a lot. I enjoy the players. They're great. I've just really enjoy being in a room coaching, just no different than the CFL guys. They're an older unit. They're really smart. And my biggest learning curve has been learning, you know, the systems of flag football. And the biggest thing is, you know, I have a good knowledge of Canadian Football League pass game. So trying to take it from the 65-yard field to a 25-yard field has been my challenge. And I think we've done a good job of kind of mixing and doing some things that maybe flag teams haven't seen because of my CFL background.
For the people that don't know, you've had a pretty impressive start here, which includes a win in, what would you call it, a friendly game over the U.S.?
Yes, it was called the International Bowl, but it was a friendly between Japan, Australia, the United States, and Canada.
And the reaction to that went so far as Pat McAfee essentially, you know, calling out the U.S. He couldn't believe that a team from the United States lost to a team from Canada, but it happened under your guidance. That leads us to this IFAF Americas Continental Championship Tournament. How critical is this, Paul, in terms of the process for qualifying for one of those coveted Olympic berths?
Yeah, good question, Justin. So the Olympics only has six teams. So it's going to be just one weekend with six teams in it. So over 2 days in 2028. So to qualify for the Olympics, you have to go to the World Championships and finish in the, you know, you have to be the top six teams. For us to go to the World Games next year, which are in Dusseldorf, Germany, in July of next year, we have to finish in the top five this weekend. So there's 11 teams playing in this tournament, which is North America, South America teams only. The United States, obviously five-time world champion, you know, the best team, you know, historically in flag football. Mexico, very good football team. Panama, Brazil. So you've got some talented teams on this side of the continent, and I hope we're part of that conversation going forward.
You're taking 12 players with you to Panama. The most notable for Canadian football fans would have to be your quarterback, Michael O'Connor, who's not the most admittedly mobile guy, but how has he fit within you going from 65 yards wide to 25 in this offense, plus also him making that transition just like you are from playing and coaching the tackle game to now playing and quarterbacking Team Canada?
He did a media availability that I was listening to today, and I totally forgot about this. So his first game ever playing flag. And, you know, most of our players have been a flag football background, have played it. We we basically had a team of a bunch of guys who played flag and had experience. Michael O'Connor had never played a flag football game until he's placed the 5-time world champions, the United States. That was his first start ever. And he threw 3 touchdowns. He had a great game. And I forget about that. Yeah, we recruited him. We just said, hey, listen, you know, I think you'd suit very well to this league. Why don't you come and try out? And he was great in training camp. Michael, for those who don't, got a full scholarship at Penn State. I spent a couple years at Penn State, transferred to UBC, and obviously helped them lead to a Vanier Cup championship, and then was drafted in the CFL, played, I think, 4 years in the Canadian Football League. So live arm, strong, smart, can make every throw on this field. And, you know, some guys don't have the ability to push the ball downfield. It's only a 50-yard field, but you still want to take shots. He can take shots. And the thing I talked to him about in his tournament, his first tournament, he didn't force anything. When the big touchdown plays were there, he took them. But when it wasn't, he never forced bad decisions. So I'm pretty impressed with him, and he's been a lot of fun to work with.
You were telling me about how some of the nuances that you've added have at least gained the intrigue of other flag football playing countries, even though you're new to this. Can you explain?
Well, I don't know. I just know it was funny. Like, there was a podcast where somebody was saying, you know, everybody was very surprised we were able to beat the United States. And, you know, we played better than them that day, right? You know, whatever. I don't know. Did they have all their starters? No, I don't really get into all that. I just know that, you know, we beat them 25-21. They're a very good football team. I'm sure we're going to get their best game, right? I'm sure that was their first loss in 8 years. So we won't surprise them again how good of a team we have. But it was funny after that, like, people were going, hey, what did they do to win the game? You know, people were funny. They were saying, well, I'm going to go check that film out and see what's going on. But, you know, it's hard. The cool thing about, you know, when we went down to that friendly, I got a chance to meet some of their players in the United States. I got a chance to meet some of their coaches and just really pretty cool people and legends of the game. Like their head coach, George, he's won, I don't know, 5 world championships, and he played flag, won world championships as a flag player. So just kind of neat. The friendly atmosphere, we got to coach the Japan guys. We got to coach the U.S. guys and the Canadian guys. So the Japan coaches, the U.S. coaches, and us, we're all kind of grouped up for a day of practice. So, yeah, it's neat. And, you know, Panama's got great athletes. Mexico has a player who is in the Canadian Football League, a receiver who I coached at the Ottawa Redblacks. He was part of a global program. So there is talent across the country. And again, if flag football is a big deal, a lot of places. You know, you have teams that will have coaching staffs of 11 people. We saw that Japan and China have huge staffs, Mexico. So it's exciting for us as Canada to kind of start building this and growing it.
You mentioned the talent there. We've really honed in on Michael O'Connor, who's the most known name on your roster. But can you take us inside some of the stories about how you got the other players on the team?
Yeah, so here's how our process went with our guys. And a majority of our guys, we probably have 9 from the Quebec area. We basically, last year, Warren Craney with Football Canada, he basically started in Vancouver, and he had a free agent camp or an ID camp for flag players. So we put him through a bunch of tests. Then we went through every province across the country, and Warren picked the top 40 players that he felt could compete. So once that happened, I was hired right as that around the they were finishing up those. Joel Lipinski is our defensive coordinator. He played in the World Games for flag years ago. He's been a D coordinator for years for the Team Canada team. We were able to get him to come on staff. So, and Patrick Bourgon, which is a player who was a guy who was with the Red Blacks with me, who coaches flag here in Quebec. So the 3 of us are on the coaching staff. We picked from that 40, 18 guys, 12 on the roster, 6 reserves. And then we start to do on our friendlies. So the guys are trying to, we try to Zoom once a week. We try to break down film as much as we can together. And some of the guys try to get together in Quebec, but it's hard because we're across the country. So we hope next year we'll start, you know, planning a trip to San Diego to go for 4 days, the entire roster, and go do some training. But some great stories of guys. We have guys who played college football, whether it be we have a couple of Val guys, a couple of Montreal guys, McGill. We've got guys who never played football at all in tackle world. They're just flag football player, and they are great players. So it's pretty interesting. We have a doctor, Emil, one of our halfbacks, is a physician. he's a big athletic defensive back, but he's also a doctor, so it's pretty cool.
There's been a lot of talk, Paul, about potential CFL players or NFL players coming to the respective teams. Like in the United States, they're talking about like Justin Jefferson. You know, in Canada, there's been some chatter what that team would look like. How do you think that evolves as we go through the process? And is it being made too big of a deal because it's a very small roster that's actually going to go to the Olympics?
Yeah, I think the interesting thing, that's a great point, Justin, because people will talk about, well, you're going to be able to get all these players, you know, this player, when they name seven players. And you're like, well, the roster for the Olympics, I believe, is only 10. So that is, on offense, you have four receivers and a quarterback, and one of those receivers has to snap the football every time. On defense, you have one person who rushes, and you have two corners and two safeties. That's it. That's your roster. So if our roster is 10 players for the Olympics, you're not going to have a lot of names. So we do know the NFL has approved players coming in. They haven't finished all the framework of when that happens, where that happens, how far away. I know the CFL has talked about wanting to make sure that the players get the opportunity. A little bit different because we're in season. Our games are when the CFL is in season. But let's hope that comes through. We'll see that eventually. But you know, the important part for us, and I try to impart knowledge, is always like, you know, the players we got here have got to get us, you know, I'm so proud of what these guys have done because these are the guys who are going to get us advancing to the World Games. So we've got a good crew, looking forward to seeing what they can do down there. It's going to be hot in Panama, but we're looking forward to it.
You mentioned it. This is a critical tournament in terms of the path there, right? There's a lot of hype about the names that could be on some of these teams when they get to the Olympics, but without you and the current team going to this tournament, coming top five, then going to Worlds potentially in July 2026 and earning an Olympic berth there, none of that stuff happens. So when you break down this tournament, Paul, going into it with your roster, how does it look? Like, take us inside those film sessions.
So here's what's kind of weird about some of this stuff, and especially for me as a professional football coach going – like, you know, two of the teams we're going to face, I haven't seen any film on. We've watched film on Brazil. But, you know, some of our first opponent, Guatemala, we haven't seen any film on. So I just have to make sure that, and it kind of bodes very well for what I believe in. It's not about them. It's about us. So when we run this concept, we have answers versus man, we have answers versus zone. And make sure if you guys space the field correctly, if you run your routes correctly, quarterback, get your eyes right. I don't really care what these people are about. We know the certain coverages that are played in the flag world, and we have reads to go through that. So that's kind of been my adjustment. But it's really just trying to make these players believe that, you know, we can be as good as anybody else in the world. We just got to go prove it on a week-to-week basis or a game-to-game basis. So, we play three games, and then we play the United States. So, obviously, that'll be a big game. But, you know, Brazil's a talented football team. That's going to be our second team we have to face. So, we are not overlooking anybody. We just got to go show up and perform at our highest level. Play to our standard, as most people like to say.
In terms of growing the confidence, how critical was that win over the USA, perhaps for you as a coach coming into this being new and the group of players that you have?
Yeah, you go through that process and, you know, our players performed, made some great plays. O'Connor played really good. And, you know, we got behind him a couple of times on a couple passes. And, you know, and that could be a game. And the biggest thing, I was kind of, all right, we just won a game. I really didn't think too much about it. And it was funny, some of the players who are, you know, full-time flag guys, who grew up in this world and been to World Games before. One of the guys came into my office, or into my, I call it my office, my college dorm room, because we're at a college dorm for this tournament. And he's like, Coach, we're going to go to dinner. You want to come with us? I'm like, no, I'm going to finish up the film, but appreciate it. He's like, Coach, I just want you to realize how big a deal this was. Like, the U.S. hasn't, you know, they're a really good program. And so I think that gave our players confidence. But as I told our players, guys, doesn't matter. We beat them, yeah, but like, we got to beat them now because this is what really matters. That was a friendly. They didn't have their whole roster. They didn't have other things. We're still happy we got the win. But I can guarantee you, I told them today, whenever we do play the United States, we'll get the most focused game they've had in a long time, because they're, I'm sure, going to be like, hey, that was a fluke. You beat us. So we just got to worry about ourselves. We'll be okay.
You've alluded to it, but your preliminary schedule for this tournament: on Friday, you play against Guatemala and Brazil. Saturday has the big one. You start with Colombia, but then it's the United States in the afternoon. And then Sunday, September 14th, is the medal round at the 2025 IFAF Americas Continental Championship. I want to get one broadcast-related question in with you, Paul, because there was a week there where you did three games in three nights for TSN. How did that happen, and what did it take to pull it off?
So here's what happened is Glenn Suter was off that weekend. He had a family situation, just like I'm off. I'm going to be off this weekend, and the guys are going to have to cover for me. So they'll do two games. If there's four games in a week, Dwayne and Glenn will handle the four games as I'm off, as I'm the third color guy. So Glenn had a function. So Dwayne was doing two, and I was doing two. Well, Dwayne got caught with the Air Canada strike in Vancouver. Couldn't get home. So I was prepping on Monday for Ottawa-Winnipeg. Was it Ottawa-Winnipeg, I believe, and then or Ottawa, and then the next week, the next day, I was getting ready to do a bunch of flag work. I was excited. I'm gonna have plenty of time to do flag. Phone rang. My boss is like, Dwayne can't get home, so we're gonna ship him to Calgary. He's gonna drive to Calgary. He'll do the Calgary game because I was supposed to go to Calgary. And you have to do all three Eastern games because Dwayne was doing an East game. And so I was like, okay. So I had to do Montreal. I drove to Montreal on Thursday night. Did Montreal, I believe that was Montreal-Winnipeg, if I can. Yeah, Montreal-Winnipeg. Drove home that night. Then I did Ottawa. I did the Ottawa game on Friday night. Ottawa-Toronto, I believe. And then, I forget who Ottawa played. I can't even remember that. And then the next day, I went to Toronto for the Toronto-BC game. So prepping for six games, Dustin, was not easy. But thank God I was at home for one of them, and I could drive home from Montreal. So I could actually get a lot of work done. You know, if I was traveling on the road too much, it would have been crazy. But yeah, it was awesome. You know, I enjoy it. Like, it's good to be on the air. And, you know, when you're in studio, Dustin, as you've done before covering games and stuff, you get 30 seconds to talk. Two and a half minutes for three guys plus a host is maybe 35 seconds, where when you're in color, you're on for 3 hours and you get to impart knowledge. No different when I'm coaching the players. You just got to do it a lot quicker, yeah, and hand it back to the play-by-play guy.
Speaking of broadcasting, how can people watch the games that Team Canada is going to play in at this flag football tournament?
So if you look at, I'll be posting on my socials, and so will Football Canada. But if you go to IFAF TV, it's just a website, and you don't have to sign up for anything. You may have to log in with an email, but they will cover all the games. There's cameras, and it'll say day one, field one, and then you click on a link and it'll give you the whole schedule on that field. So you just figure out which field we're on, and then it'll play those games live. So basically the cameras start at 8 a.m. and they just go till the end of the day. So you just kind of toggle through where our game is. Like, we're 8 o'clock that first day. Well, you put it on at 8 a.m. you'll see the game starting. They'll all be on television, and they're also a tape delay. So if you can play those back at any time. So please support these guys. It's a good group of guys. I'm proud of them. I enjoy coaching them. We're having a lot of fun.
What's it like to have not one, but two 8 a.m. games?
Well, the one thing that gives us, it gives us the ability to get off our feet and kind of prepare. And we play the first game, like the first day, I think we get them both done early so we can get back in the film room so we can get off our feet. But hey, I'd rather play the earlier ones when it's, you know, we're in Panama. It's going to be warm no matter what we do. So the 8 a.m. helps us a little bit. And forecast is for some rain, so hopefully we'll be okay with the morning games.
We appreciate you joining us, sharing some insight into your new role as the head football coach for Team Canada's men's national flag football team and the importance of this tournament, the 2025 IFAF Americas Continental Championship. Look for it, as Paul said, on IFAF.tv, that would be, and then all of Football Canada's socials, plus Paul Appelice's socials as well. We wish you all the best in the tournament, Coach.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.